It was just, it frankly, it amazes me that these guys don't seem to recognize it, and the women that support this stuff. I mean, the women should be seeing now that the Republicans want to put the women folk back in their place, and it doesn't matter. You're 10 years old, you get pregnant. If that pregnancy kills you, that's the will of the Lord, and that's just not the way I see things. I mean, these guys are trying to roll this country back to, 17th century England, where you got your tongue branded for speaking against the king or speaking a blasphemy. I mean, crack open a history book, folks. I mean,
Mark, that's great. You know, Mark knows a lot of history. I really appreciate Mark's calling in. And I'm going to hit two things. On the Roman Empire, you know, it lasted from roughly, 100 B.C. to, 400 or 500 A.D. It lasted hundreds of years, but it did fall apart. I don't look on us as an empire that's going to fall apart. Our Constitution is unique. Our Constitution spells freedom, and ultimately people should always vote for freedom. Mark's also correct. I don't know if you knew this, but throughout the 19th century, you couldn't vote for the senator. The state legislatures picked the senators. So our two senators right now would probably be Robin Voss and LeMahieu, the two leaders. And that's just the way it was. And when they gerrymander themselves, they had perpetual senates. That was a progressive innovation by fighting Bob La Follette's group, the Progressive Party, to have direct election of senators. Now, we've had direct election of presidents for 200 years. The Republican Party, and there are many of them, who will not support direct election of senators even. Now they won't support direct election of presidents. So the question is, what do we do? And the answer, Mark, is there's no margin of victory that they will recognize. As you point out, they say that they were large and in charge, and that is fascism. And I've said many times before, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, one brief at a time, one lawyer at a time, one briefcase at a time. It's happening to us right now. So anybody out there who thinks I'm going to vote Republican because I don't want presidential elections, because if we have them, we might lose, and Voss will make sure we win, that's sick. That is not America. That is not our Constitution. Going back to the lines, next in line is Robert of West Allis. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind today?
Good morning. We talk about a lot on this show about the lawyers with their briefcases and doing all the support for various things. What we don't talk about is the lack of action enough. You know, whether it's Merrick Garland, whether it's Christopher Wray, whether it's Josh Call or Dana Nessel. Mish.
Right. Yeah, no, and you've made the point before. Of putting pressure on these prosecutors, and you're right, and that's another cautionary point that I'm very glad you just raised again, is this. It doesn't do any good. I don't know, Robert, you came back on the line. I think you may have been cut off inadvertently. So let's put Robert back on, Connor, if we can. Yeah, there we go.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, go ahead, Robert. I want to give you your say.
Yeah, the point I wanted to make is every time we don't take action, whether it's Iran-Contra, whether it's, the $6 trillion we spent on, Iraq and Afghanistan, or Iraq was the war that we lied into, and then now this, January 6th, every time we don't hold people accountable, things seem to get worse. So I guess the point would be with these AGs, with the head of the FBI, with the Attorney General, they took an oath to protect the Constitution, whether it's the state or the U.S. Constitution, and to uphold the law. Now, if they're scared or they're cowards and they're afraid to act because they might have threats, well, then they need to step down and resign to have someone who has courage, in the belief in their convictions to uphold the rule of law and hold these people accountable. The reality is, we're dealing with domestic terrorists. We're dealing with people that support them. We're dealing with coup plotters. And checking out or not taking the hard decisions for political reasons really shouldn't be an option. They need to do their job or they need to resign.
Yeah, that's...
Thank you.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And there are prosecutors. Fannie Willis in Atlanta is terrific. She's had death threats, and frankly, her children have. And she's convened a grand jury to investigate Trump's extortion of Raffensperger. On the other hand, you have Alvin Biggs up in New York, who took a dive. They had a criminal indictment, or actually the charges, ready to go against Trump. He came into office and said, rip him up. We couldn't win. And the two of the best prosecutors in New York said, come on, we're experienced at this. We got to do it. He wouldn't do it, and they resigned. They resigned. Somebody got to him. There's got to be a grand jury in New York that investigates him, investigates his assets. You can't do something like that and get away with it, but apparently he is. I think you're right with the others. People are getting threats. Liz Cheney has a 24/7 security. So does Adam Kinzinger. Cassidy Hutchinson is in a witness protection program because Trump gets up and encourages violence. He'll say, it's a racist attack against me is what he said. But you know what to do. This is all code words. You know what to do. You know what to do. He'll say to his supporters, as a protester, beat the hell out of him. I'll pay your attorney's fees. He is violent. He is violent. He calls witnesses and says directly, but he'll have somebody else call and say, a certain person knows you're going to testify. He knows you'll do the right thing. He reads transcripts. That's a mafia call. That's a drug cartel call. So I don't think Garland needs any more evidence. I mean, come on. Come on. He has the videos. He's seen the transcripts. How much more evidence do you need? The fact is that Trump instigated a coup, and people got killed. A woman got trampled to death. A guy got shot. A guy, an officer, got his head crushed. Eye poked out, finger ripped off. People went up there armed to kill the vice president and the Speaker of the House. What more do you need? Either lead or get out of the way. Going back to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
I got great callers today. A little bit of a rant about the GOP, why you need to vote. They are nowhere to be found for climate change, the environment. They want to privatize Social Security, Medicare. They took away women's rights. They got a new thing. Spend, but don't tax. So tax cuts for the rich is going to make it harder to vote. He's still investigating the 2020 election. It's a waste of time and money and effort. And I could go on and on about this GOP. It's ridiculous. But I do have a question. Well, first of all, you got to get out and vote in this primary for Senate. I've said that for the last 3-4 days. I know who I'm going to vote for, but it doesn't do any good for me to endorse anybody. But who is the working party that came out and endorsed Barnes, I think it is? What business? I don't understand why they're involved in an election. That's my final question. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Well, you said a mouthful. You said some very good things. And on part of what you said, I want to say something to friends out there, maybe independent or even moderate Republicans. Our ultimate objective is unity. We're all Americans. We are divided. And Abraham Lincoln, who was a Republican president, the first Republican president, that a house divided itself cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln said that. Abraham Lincoln said that. So I want to get back to unity, but we can't get back to unity if this QAnon Trump cult has taken over the party. That's the purpose of attacking it, not attacking good Republicans like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Number two, the Working Families Party is a progressive party that has embedded itself in the Democratic Party, and they spend their time attacking the Democratic Party and, frankly, running primary opponents to Democrats. They've made an endorsement in this race. They've done it before, and you've had a number of prominent progressives come in and make the endorsement. I have stayed away from endorsing anybody on this air. I just want to stimulate everybody to go out to vote. And Wisco Paul, I respect your private decision of who you're going to vote for, but I'm going to say this to everybody. Get out and vote on August 9 and vote for the person that you think is most likely to beat Ron Johnson. Because there are 8 candidates, and I know about 5 or 6 of them, and these are all good people who would be absolutely qualified and good, strong senators. Some have more money than others. Some have better name recognition than others. But they all got their money honestly, and they all are Democrats, very good Democrats. So I think, you know, in defense of Mandela Barnes, I'll say that Working Families Party has endorsed him, but Mandela has a much longer history in the Democratic Party than just that party. Alex Lazary, a strong Democrat. Sarah Godlewski is a strong Democrat. Tom Nelson's a strong Democrat. Get out there and vote on August 9. And the others are strong Democrats, too. Get out there on August 9. Phone or break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And I know